Hey everybody, what the fuck is this thing doing in the...
Yeah, what is that?
What? How did that get like that?
Where is it? Oh, it's in front of the camera.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Alright.
Somebody must have been fucking around.
That's some
here.
Weird shit.
Somebody's
Pookie must
around.
Have been up here.
Yeah, she probably was. She crawls around up here when I'm not looking all the time.
Look up and had a damn line through me like I had a damn omen.
Oh, went shit. What if you like go outside and like some shit falls off the top of a steeple and
yeah,
like...
Man. I get
man,
cut in half.
That fucks me
Justice
up.
Justice served. Oh, thank you.
That fucked me up when I was a kid. I was like, oh...
Yeah.
Because it was just like an accident, you know? Yeah. It's like you could be walking around and like... Yeah. I know it was the devil, like in the
yeah.
context of the movie. But
accidental
you know,
devil.
The accidental devil.
Yeah.
So yeah. So this episode here, we watched it last night and then Tom just now like watched it again.
I watched it again.
Because,
it's still hard to follow.
Yeah. Okay. So that's... This one is from season 4
yeah.
and it's called Spirits of the Dead. And I had kind of remembered this one because I remembered it took place on a horse farm. And, you know, you worked on a horse farm
yeah.
for a long time, so we were kind
of
like,
bunch
you know,
of.
Yeah, you've worked on a bunch of horse
yeah.
farms. So I kind of remembered it for that, but I had forgotten that, unlike most of the other episodes of A Haunting, this one, for whatever reason, is, like, the timeline is all muddled. Like, they've
yeah,
kind of...
I was going to say it's muddy.
Yeah,
it's
like,
muddy
they tell the story in, like, a really weird order, and
yeah.
I'm not really sure, like, why they chose to do it that way.
Yeah, and it's not, I would not call this a compelling episode. Although the case is kind of interesting, just that the way that they tell it kind of makes it boring.
It
Very
did a
wordy.
Bit, like I said, and it just, and it was kind of vague and like unclear, like
yeah,
what
like
the timeline
what happened?
Was.
Yeah.
And, you know, now usually, because I always write down, pretty much the first thing I write down when we start watching an episode, I write down the episode name, like the number, you know, the season and the number of it, the people's names, you know, where it took place, and what year it took place. They didn't say what year this happened, did they?
No.
I mean, because I would have
no.
written it down. They said it, where it was.
They did a good job of skirting around facts to place this in a place, in a time.
Yeah, because they did say where it was.
Where it was
they did
yeah.
say it was in Kingston, New Hampshire.
Yeah, just when this was happening.
But they didn't say what year
And they
it
would
was.
Just say things like, the boy got in the very beginning got attacked. But they don't really specify what that meant. I don't even remember if they showed it. He just saw something, right?
Yeah, I kind of want to get into that because
yeah.
this, like I said, this is very, this episode was like really unclear because I was having
yeah.
a hard time like taking notes. And, like, I started watching it, and it jumped into, like, some shit. Like, it seemed like it jumped ahead. I was like, did I miss something?
Yeah,
like, I
yeah,
thought
yeah.
it skipped.
Yeah, it was the same thing. It was like, wait a minute.
And so I went, like, I turned it off, and I backed it up. I'm like, no, they just started with that, even
yeah.
though that doesn't happen until later.
Yeah.
I don't really get, like, why.
Very difficult to follow this episode.
It was, yeah.
And I'm not sure exactly what happened. They blessed it, and it went away. That's how it ended.
Well, that's
well, no,
yeah, how
no, it kind of went away.
That's the, well, I mean,
yeah.
really, there's only one of two outcomes
yeah.
of these shows. It's like they either bless the shit and it goes
yeah.
away and everything has the smell of sanctity.
Yeah.
Or
the smell of sanctity.
Or they have to, like, run out the house and move away.
Right.
And
this one, I think, left it ambiguous.
I think they pretty much said that they
it
blessed
away?
The shit and it went
okay.
away. I mean, I thought that's what they said. But like
yeah.
you said, it was very, it's
unclear.
Very
unclear.
Not real clear, this one. But yeah, so, but I had kind of remembered this one and we hadn't covered this one. So I was like, okay, well, this is a good one to do because we're still, there's still some season 4 ones we haven't talked about. So this one is about, I don't know what year this took place because they don't say, but it does take place in Kingston, New Hampshire, apparently. And the couple at the center of it are named Jim and Joanne Whitley. I think they said Whitley was their last name. And they're both really on there. Jim... I put at the very end of the notes, I said Jim has a Mario stash because I kept calling him Mario.
Yeah,
like,
that mustache was fucking, I don't know if it was epic or if it was an abomination. It looked like it was greased. It looked like he greased it down. Or maybe it was just the way the resolution on the DVD, the way it worked out. It was funny looking. Funny looking on DVD. The texture looked funny. Almost like it was painted on.
It yeah, I did kind of get that
yeah,
impression.
Yeah, like, did he paint that shit on? It's like a pistachio. It's almost like Luigi or something.
That's what I said. That's why I said like Mario.
Like Mario, yeah.
That's because I kept like I kept making jokes like throughout the
yeah.
whole thing. Like every time he was on, I was like, shouldn't you be fighting Donkey Kong? Or
yeah. I was looking at it. And go, is that real? Is that a real? Is that a real mustache? But I think it just might have been
guy.
The resolution on the DVD and the way it looked on a HD TV. It was, you know, sometimes sometimes the image doesn't come across real well. It looked like it had been waxed. It was like real wet and waxed and greasy, kind of.
Yeah.
Like to hold it in place, maybe.
It was weird, for sure.
Yeah.
But like, I kept calling him Mario like throughout the whole thing. Like, what are you talking about, Mario?
Look, it was painted on with spray paint at first.
It's like just for men. Yeah, or what was that shit that was it Hair Club for Men? Or remember back in the 80s or 90s?
The spray on hair? Yeah.
They had that infomercial.
Yeah.
It was probably just spray paint, like.
No, yeah. It was basically the same thing that comes out of like, canned snow, like when you're spraying on the fucking Christmas tree.
Except dark.
It was just dark and it would fucking get into your hair and make like fucking like crystal shit and hide your bald spot. And then they said, well, you can brush it and it'll be okay. I never saw it in real life.
I didn't.
But
either.
I looked at it, I was like, that does not work.
There's no way you'd be able to brush it. Yeah. I mean, without it, I mean, if it
would like, fall out.
Like I said, it would probably just look like you had really bad dandruff.
Yeah. Something bad.
Ian England said the same stuff Steve Seagal uses for hair. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably what this dude's mustache shoe polish. Was made of.
He uses shoe polish for
I
hair.
Mean, hey,
shoe
it's, polish it's and cheap. Cotton. That's what he's like every little kid dressing up as a hobo for Halloween. Yeah.
Shoe polish. That's what
he burns a cork and like rubs it on there.
Steve Seagal. That's Steve Seagal hair. That unbelievable hairline. This shit's fucking razor sharp. Razor sharp hairline.
Well, I mean, he is committed to, like, just drawing it on there with a Sharpie, I guess.
No, he puts tape on his fucking head and spray paints that shit on there.
Like that blue painter's tape.
Yeah, like blue painter's tape on there and he pulls that shit off. Whoosh. See? We got hair. Nobody knows. It's like, okay.
Nobody knows.
Okay, man.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah, so you see, look how we get off on tangents just because we were talking about this dude's mustache. Yeah. It's like, it was kind of cool, but it's like, I don't know. Like I said, he kind of looked like Mario. Or Luigi, I guess. Mario and Luigi both kind of
looked... They looked exactly the same.
Their faces looked the same. They just had, like, different colors.
Red and green.
Yeah,
red
they just had different color shirt. Outfits on.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, Jim and Joanne Whitley, that's the couple. I kind of laughed because the narrator at the beginning said, Joanne is farm girl tough. And so I wrote that down because that made me laugh. She said she started working on farms since she was 9 years old.
Yeah.
So they have a son named David. I don't think they said how old he was. He looked about 12-ish, something like that. I don't know, maybe a little bit younger. So their big dream was they have been wanting to open like a horse farm, like, you know, where they would board people's horses and they would like, you know, train people to ride and shit like that, because that's what Joanne's been doing her whole life. And then this, so they kind of like started with that, like in the first minute or two. And then all of a sudden they jumped right to their son, David, getting in a really bad bicycle accident. And they didn't really, they just kind of like glossed over how it happened.
Yeah.
And so, like, he was riding along, like, riding the dirt, it looked like. I don't know how he got so hurt, but I don't know. So it's like he falls off the bike and he somehow broke his back, like, he broke his spine, right? And so they jumped right into that. And I was like, wait, what the fuck just happened? I was like, did it skip ahead? Because the discs are old, so sometimes, like, you know, they... Because I've played them on my laptop, and sometimes...
I think they cut something out during the edit.
But, yeah, so I don't... So I was like, what the fuck? And then I backed it up. I'm like, nope, that's okay. So they get into that later, but this... Like I said, the timeline of this is very muddled. Like, the bicycle accident actually happens later in the actual timeline, but they just started out with it, and I don't really get it. So the kid has to go to the hospital, obviously. And they think, oh, well, maybe he's going to be paralyzed or he has permanent spinal damage or whatever. Stinal damage.
Stymal
damage. Stymal damage.
Yeah.
I'm sober, I promise. Yeah. But it's like, I've been up since 5 a.m. So it's like, you know what I mean? I'm a little bit tongue-tied. But yeah. Oh, they also mentioned that Jim and Joanne had been married for 20 years at this point. But like I said, I don't know what year this was. So, yeah, so David's back is broken, but they said, well, you kind of lucked out because, yeah, his back is broken and that's bad, but they said it's not broken in a way that it won't heal up. So it's like eventually maybe like with a lot of therapy, he should be able to like recover and he should be able to walk again. So he does end up doing that. And actually they talked to, he was on there, wasn't he? Like as a grown person, obviously. I think he was on there for a couple of minutes, like they interviewed him.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So they started out with this, with the bicycle accident and the kid breaking his back. And then they segue into, oh, well, paranormal stuff has been going on at this farm for, like, years. I'm like, well, like what? Like, you know what I mean? It's like they just went right, and I was like, okay, well, you should have maybe led with that and then built up to the bicycle accident. It just, like I said, it seemed like, I don't remember another episode of A Haunting that was structured this way, and I'm not really entirely sure if they were, like, experimenting with the new format, or they were like, oh, well, the bicycle accident, that was, like, a big deal, like, the kid broke his back, so let's start with that, because it's, like, super exciting, but I don't know, I kind of feel like they should have built up to that instead of starting out with it and then being like, oh, by the way, we've had all this paranormal shit happening, and we think maybe the bicycle accident was maybe caused by a ghost or something, I don't know. So I didn't really get it. But yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think it was paranormal.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like, it didn't necessarily... A lot of the things on this don't seem all that paranormal. Like,
a bunch of sickness happens with the horses in the barn. She's like, I've never seen this before, and I came from a big old barn. I says, no. A lot of bad shit can go wrong in a barn. I've seen shit go wrong in a barn. I've also seen just bad strings of luck happen in a barn. Sickness and injury all happening in a couple months period. If you have enough horses in there, and it's just unusual, like an unusual spike in it. But it's not paranormal. It's just chance.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, you know, the thing about it is that there's something called, what is it called, the law of large numbers or something like that. It's like given enough incidences of something, you're going to have anomalies. And it seems weird, but it's like, it's just, you know, that's just what happens. It doesn't mean that it's like paranormal, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're going to get like little anomalies and spikes and things. But yeah. So they don't really go into what exactly this paranormal activity was that they had been experiencing prior to this bicycle accident. But whatever it was, Joanne was like, yeah, I'm going to go to a psychic because I'm kind of sick of this shit, right? So she goes to a psychic. Now, the first psychic she goes to was like, yeah, that's above my pay grade. I'm like not doing that shit. But she's like, I don't think I can help you. And then she gives her the number of another woman who... works with energy. I think that's what they said. She was like a Shambhala practitioner.
Yeah, or Shambholics.
The Shambholics.
The Shambholics.
I just feel like Gordon Ramsay says Shambholic all the time. That's a great word, actually.
Yeah.
Her name was like Sue Bernier. Is that what they said her name was? I wrote it down, but it's my handwriting is messy.
Working with
energy.
In the dark. Working with energy. Yeah. She's an electrician.
Yeah. Well, I forgot to mention that Jim, the husband on this, is an electrician.
Working with
so
energy.
You know what I mean? Yeah,
energy worker.
Yeah, she's an energy worker, yeah.
Yeah.
She basically just goes and waves her hands around and says she's doing some shit. So she talks to Joanne. Now, before Sue, the Shambholic woman, that's what we're just going to call her, Shambholic Sue, before she goes out to the barn, even, or the farm, she said that she got, like, visions about the place, and, like, she felt nausea and shortness of breath and things like that. Like, she was freaking out about, like, going there, like, before she even went to the property. So, but she's like, well, I'm gonna come out the next day and see what I can see and see what I can do for you. So, they said that when she was driving out there the next day, she said that her big thing is that she can always sense people... I don't know if she did. She say that she said she sensed them, but could she like see them?
They made you think she could see
them.
It
seemed like she kind of, I don't know. She implied that she could see them.
They kept showing shots of her walking around in a barn, and then every night seeing silhouettes of people inside the stalls.
Seeing like a Native American guy like running through the woods.
Yeah, she
saw. Like a little
kid. She
said
she saw that.
Yeah,
but she didn't say she actually saw ghosts in the barn. They just show her. Supposedly seeing ghosts in the barn.
Right.
You know what I mean? But you don't know if she's just feeling their presence or if she's actually seeing them because she never comes out and says
they
that.
They do that a lot
and
on this show.
The narrator never says she saw the image of the man. It never says anything.
Right.
So you just have to, there's no, I think this was, there's a couple things they did see. Things levitating.
Objects
moving. So it's not, the case isn't totally devoid of actual reports of paranormal phenomena. It's just the way the story is structured and the way things are shown, it's difficult to know what is actual and what's implied.
And a lot of their... I feel like a lot of their reports were kind of nebulous.
Yeah.
Like the stuff that they said. And I don't know if that was just because they were being cagey or because it was edited out or what. You know what I mean?
Might have been a pretty long... script they had to edit down for TV.
I always wonder about that because it's like, obviously they interview the people for a long time. And because they need all that information to do the, you know, reenactments.
Yeah.
But, you know, so they cut down, you know, to just like a few minutes, really. But so you don't really know, like, what they actually said.
And what they actually saw.
Because sometimes they'll put some shit in the reenactment, but it's like, well, the person didn't say that, but did they say it in a part of the interview that they cut out? Or,
you know. They might show a ghost in the background and the person walking around looking spooked out. Did they actually see the ghost, or were they just said, man, I felt like I was being watched?
I kind of feel like they usually do that because what I get that because that's like a way you have to like show it visually.
You have to show it visually.
You can't just like have somebody walk around going, ooh, like that won't like come across.
But they don't come out and say, you know, yeah, I feel like I was being watched. You know what I mean? That would to clarify it. You know,
yeah.
So in a lot of the haunting episodes are like that. Not all of them. The real good ones, they make it a lot more clear, you know. But some of the ones are kind of some of these are kind of vague. They're open to interpretation.
Oh yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Danny Rowling said the psychic brunette chick in this episode was in the attic episode and played the sister. Yeah, that's right. I thought she looked familiar. She's a pretty good actress in my opinion. Yeah, she was actually really good.
Most of the Haunting series, especially the early series, the early seasons, they had good acting.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. They were good. Good. It's a good series.
I would always argue, just like as far as these kind of like supernatural shows, or even like horror movies or scary things in general. I always feel like actors in horror movies and ghost stories and stuff don't get enough credit.
Yeah.
Because I kind of feel like acting in a horror movie is like harder than other genres.
Yeah. And some of the regulars, you know, you see the same cast over and over again. As it went on, you could tell they were having fun with this shit because you could see them kind of hamming it up.
Yeah.
But it was good. You know what I mean? Like the Where's That Raccoon guy, you see him a couple times. You see that same woman, that cute skinny woman all the time. She's in like 7 or 8 of them. She playing all different kinds of roles in it. And sometimes she's the psychic. Sometimes she's the girl that got haunted. And she eventually started hamming it up. But it was still good acting.
Yeah. I always liked her.
Yeah. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. By the way. Where is that
raccoon? There you go. Y'all didn't expect that, did you?
Well, I mean, you said it, so that's I was like,
best,
oh.
That's the best commercial we got.
I haven't done it for such a long time. Victor says, I got my cookbook. Thanks, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot all about that.
You enjoyed it?
Yeah.
Hopefully you like it. Hopefully it's met your expectations.
Zach says, some of the best acting I've ever seen is in horror and thrillers. Yeah, exactly. Like Hereditary, Fatal Attraction, for example. Yeah. And that's I'm still mad that like Toni Collette didn't even get an Oscar nom for fucking Hereditary because she was incredible in that. Well, because the thing about horror is that the whole thing is you have to adequately portray not only heightened emotions, but you have to make the audience believe unbelievable shit. And that's hard. Like, if you're just in a drama or something like that where it's, like, realistic, I'm not saying that that's not hard, too, but it's, like, I don't think it's as hard as conveying a really believable terror and stuff like that you would have to do in a horror movie. So I think it's harder.
I think I've seen Hereditary? I think I've seen it 3 times. I didn't like it in the theater. I fell asleep during it. And we saw it in the house, and I warmed up to it because we own it. And then I think we saw it the 3rd time, and I liked it a lot better on the 3rd time.
I thought you'd only seen it 2 times.
Maybe, okay, then I'm...
Because I've only seen it 2 times, okay, because the first time I saw it, it fucked me up really bad, and I really wanted to see it again, but I was like, I kind of
don't. Then I guess that was the 2nd time I saw it.
But then I finally did, like, watch it again.
I liked Midsommar, saw that in the theater, and we owned that one. I liked it from the time I saw it.
I think we saw that twice in the theater.
Yeah, I liked that one, yeah.
Yeah, I like both of them.
Same director.
Yeah, Ari Aster, he's awesome.
Yeah,
He did The Lighthouse, too.
They had one of my favorite new actresses in it.
Florence Pugh.
Yeah, that girl, her head, she got a cute head. I like it.
She's adorable, I love her.
Got a big head.
She's been in, like, some newer shit that we probably should see. Isn't she in Don't Worry, Darling? Has anybody seen that yet?
So.
I've heard really mixed reviews about it. Like, it sounded cool, like I saw a trailer, but I was just kind of like, I don't know, I might end up watching it.
I also liked her in Fighting With My Family. It's a fun Florida movie about Paige, the wrestler Paige. She did a great job in that.
I love
that. And I got the extended version on Blu-ray. It's longer. It's good. Real good. I want to see that one again. I also want to see Mark, what's his name movie? Pain and Gain. Pain and Gain, yeah. She knew exactly what I'm thinking. I want to see Candy Gang.
I've known you a long time.
I own it on Blu-ray. Fucking
Victor says, "Don't Worry, Darling" is definitely Louis worth sent it to me. The watch.
What's that?
What I said about "Don't Worry, Darling," and I think Florence Pugh is in that. Because I said, I'd heard a lot about it, but I'd heard kind of like mixed reviews. But he said it's definitely worth a watch.
She's British, isn't she?
Yes.
I'll tell you, man, she's a good actress. All the best actors and actresses are coming from England. They got better standards. She's great, though. I like her.
Yeah, I like her, too.
Yeah. She just comes across as likable, too. Just seeing her, like, yeah, somebody you can hang out with, right?
Yeah, and that definitely comes across.
Yeah.
But, okay, so let's get back to this for a second. Yeah. Okay, so, what were we talking about? The shambolic Sue?
Yeah, shambolic.
I'm not picking on her. I'm just saying.
A real shambolic.
But, yeah, so, So she says that she, like I said, she feels like she senses people and can, like, sense their moods and have felt how they died and blah, blah, blah. And then, so here's the thing. So Sue and Joanne are walking around the farm, and Joanne is, like, relating all of this stuff to Sue, like, all of this crazy shit that's been going on. So then they, like, go back in time. Like I said, this is a very convoluted way of telling this story. I don't really know why they felt the need to do that. But so they actually go back in time and they said, yeah, me and Jim, like the Mario, the husband with the stash, said we bought the farm. They bought the farm after it had been abandoned for a really long time. They said it's 300 acres, so it's not an insignificant chunk of change. They said they got a good deal on it, but it had been abandoned for a long time, so it was a mess. They said it was a mess, but they knew that they could do something with it. So I guess, like, Joanne has been a horse trainer, that's what your mom does. Yep. She basically does the same thing your mom does. And Jim was an electrician. So they're like, okay, well, we can figure all this out. We'll fix it all up. So over the next year, they kind of renovate the place and start to open up the business. So, like I said, their whole thing is that, I mean, I guess Jim's, like, goes out to work, like, as a contractor, like, electrician and stuff. But Joanne, she boards people's horses and, like, trains people to ride, like, to go into, like, competition, you know what I mean? Like, horse jumping and stuff like that. So, like I said, that's what his mom does.
Yeah, I could do it, too, though, for children. Well, yeah. Children and novice, you know, I got experience with that, too. I was doing that at, like, fucking 12, 13, training other children and shit.
Yeah.
I grew up in that industry, and it's just...
It's kind of a whole scene. Like, a lot of things are, like, all the competitions, and people travel around, and, like, jumping competitions.
To me, it was second nature because I had to learn it because of who my mom was. It really wasn't me.
Yeah.
So I'm never really driven to do it. But I can ride. I can jump. My equitation's good. It's all English. Never got into dressage or anything. But just hunter jumper stuff, you know what I mean? And they're not as fast as motorcycles, and horses don't always obey. That's the problem.
Well, yeah, because they're kind of like
They have their own mind. They're very good if you're in a fucking situation where there's no fuel. It's like post-apocalyptic. Special Forces is good with horses, or they were, and camels. But, you know, it's just kind of second nature. Started off with ponies and then thoroughbreds and shit, but it was never really my choice. It was always just kind of like a family business.
Well, like I said, you got raised in it, and your mom did it, and that was, like, her business. And so you always, like, worked at farms and, like, took care of horses and stuff.
Yeah,
like
in between any kind of military or contracting type work, I was doing that. Uh-huh. That was good. And I actually preferred working in kitchens to that, okay, which some people fucking hate kitchens, but I like cooking and working in a kitchen. That's fucking hard work. I mean, But it's just... I'm just so burnt out on fucking the horse scene. I don't care.
Well, I mean, when I met you, you were working at a farm.
Yeah.
Like taking
care. Was at a stable.
At a stable, like taking care of horses, which, like I said, was the same kind of. That I don't think they did any training there, but they boarded people's horses.
Yeah.
And they had a bunch of their own too.
Actually, that was like the second or third one I was at in this area. You're talking about Dr. Matt's place.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a famous kind of famous in the medical scene, rich doctor. He came from a fucking family of doctors. His mom built Orlando General Hospital with a bunch of donations and shit. And he runs a hospital down in Sanford. No, not Sanford, Altamont. He runs that hospital. So he just hires doctors and fucking teams of doctors and shit. And I took care of his barn. All right. Had about 8 horses there. It was beautiful. private barn on an estate out.
Yeah, it was nice.
Hidden.
Not that far from our old house, actually. Not far from our, right. Just like a mile or two away.
Back in where we were doing the show from before, it was, you know, 5-6 miles from there. A beautiful mansion. And it was like an amusement. But you go in there, it's like something out of Disney, white fences everywhere and pastures and a big old plantation house and next to it. I think it was a 10-stall barn with wash racks and tack room, but it was air conditioned and it was like an office and beautiful, you know. And it was his family members and friends of the family that stayed there. I took care. They'd go off to Egypt and go to fucking other countries, and I'd take care of that place for months on end sometimes.
Yeah, because they were gone a lot.
Yeah. And, you know, just did security there and fucking groundskeeping and took care of horses and just held
and
the ship.
Chickens and...
Goats.
They had goats, too.
Yeah. The turkey.
Yeah.
The turkey died under my watch, but it was old. It was gonna die.
They had an awesome goat named Franklin.
Franklin, yeah.
They had more than one goat, but Franklin was awesome.
He had a damn facility there to fucking rebuild Cadillacs. He and his son, he would get these old 50s Cadillacs and rebuild them. But they had a couple of them there, but they didn't do it while I was there. I think I did that. I think I was with him for about 18 months, 2 years, I think.
It was a while.
Yeah.
Because like I said, when I met you, you were doing that, and you did that for like a long time. Yeah. After we got together.
He was a good dude. Dr. Matt was a good dude. Very generous, very wealthy, from a very powerful Jewish American family in the medical industry.
So Joanne's walking around this big 300-acre farm telling Shambolic Sue what's been going on. So she says when they first opened the barn or the farm, like to boarders and students and stuff, the lights in the barn, she said, kept going on and off by themselves, like all the time. And I guess she sort of also implied that some of the students like didn't like it there, like they thought it was kind of creepy, or they thought it was creepy at least that the lights were going on and off. And so Joanne complains about it to Jim, her husband, and he says, look, I wired that barn myself. There's really no, because like I said, he's an electrician. So it's like, there's no way that there could be anything wrong, but I'll check it anyway. So the next morning he goes out there and checks it all, and he's like, look, I can't find a single thing wrong with it. You know, it's just got to be a fluke or something like that. So they just kind of write it off. However, when Jim is checking the electrical this particular morning, he said that he heard kids playing, and he's like, you know, they only had one kid, and I guess the kid wasn't around. There was like no one else around. It's a 300-acre property. So he said he heard kids playing and it weirded him out, but he just kind of like wrote it off. As you'll see, Jim was kind of like, he seemed a little bit like this still, even though I guess he'd finally come to accept what was happening, but he definitely seemed like one of those oh, you're crazy, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's kind of, like, laughing at his wife and everything, because she was always complaining about stuff, like, hearing things and whatnot. So, but he did hear some shit, too, but he just kind of pretended he didn't. Now, apparently, Joanne's business, like, started doing well right away. So she gets, like, a lot of students, a lot of boarders, and she's, like, training students, like, for competition and stuff like that. And some of them help out around the farm as well. Now, she has a bunch of horses of her own, as well as boarding some from students, but her favorite one is named Frisco. And she said that Frisco started acting really strangely, like he didn't want to eat or drink, and he was just like acting really uneasy. They said like a lot of the horses were acting kind of uneasy, but she was like the most upset about Frisco because she was her favorite horse. But, and so she's like not eating and stuff. So, one day, like, while there was other people at the farm, like, the kid was there and the dad was there and everything like that, she's in the house and she said that she said it sounded like a herd of horses, like, galloping past the house. So she thought, as you would, that all of the horses had got out of the stable somehow. Well, hello. Did you see her little head poke up?
Yeah, she's trying to get attention.
Hello? But yeah, so she thought, well, all the horses had escaped from the barn. So she runs out and she's like, did you guys hear that? It's like, did all the horses get out? Like, what happened? And they all look at her like she's a nutcase because they're like, no, all the horses are in here. It's fine. And, you know, and her husband is just kind of like, no, we didn't hear anything. It's, you're just imagining things, obviously.
There's a girl in there saying, imagine Tom in those sexy-ass tight dressage boots. They're actually called Marlboros. And here, you don't have to imagine.
You don't have to imagine.
You don't have to imagine. I'm wearing Marlboros
he's got a picture.
All black outfit right there with a little goth jacket on. And sometimes I had to go ride people's horses because they'd be gone for too long. So you got to ride them. Keep them in good shape. Ride and jump them. But no, it's a low-res picture, but that's me. And that's not at Dr. Matt's place. That's at the place before I was working for Dr. Matt. That was where me and Aleta lived before you.
Oh, right, yeah.
That's not far from the biker bar.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's like here in Sorrento, right?
Yep.
That's in Sorrento.
That's not far from here.
Yeah.
And in the back, you see that's the big house. And then all that around there, that's a bunch of pastures, and there's a big professional racetrack that went around it, and then there's jumping arenas, round pins, all kinds of stuff there. That was a big farm.
Good. Yeah, so she thought she heard all these horses galloping, thought they escaped, but nobody else heard anything, so she's like, okay, whatever. But then David, who's been out playing in the woods, he comes riding up on his bike, and he's kind of wigged out, and he said, I was just out in the woods, and like I said, it's 300 acres, there's nobody else around. And he's like, he said that he heard, and he's grown up, like, on the show, like, being interviewed, and he said that he heard, like, old-timey music. He said it sounded like a violin or something like that, like, very distinctly. And he said it was really, really creepy. Like, it creeped him out so much that he was just like, yeah, fuck that, and, like, rode out of the woods and rode back to the house. And he told them about it, but then, like I said, his dad is just like, whoa, she's hearing horses and you're hearing old-timey music in the woods? You guys are crazy, you know what I mean? It's that kind of shit. So he didn't really believe anything that was going on. He thought they were just all losing their marbles. So then, apparently, some weeks go by. Frisco, the favorite horse, stops eating entirely, and several other of the horses get sick. And all of the horses are Joanne's, because she's got, like I said, she's got a bunch of her horses there, but she's also boarding a bunch of others. And she's like, but it was just hers that got sick. She's like, you'd think if it was, like, a disease that all the horses would have got it, but they didn't. So she calls a vet, and the vet says, well, maybe it's colic. Like, we'll do some tests, like, you know, and she's saying, well, maybe they're just all stressed out because of, you know, various things. Maybe they've been moved around. She's like, yeah, but, you know, we've been keeping the horses all on the same schedule. It's like, I don't know why it would just be my horses and not anybody else's, because we do the same shit with them every day. Like, nothing has changed. So the vet's like, well, I don't know. I'm out of ideas. So we're just, like, doing tests and we'll see how it goes. And I think, like, so at this point, like, some of the students and the boarders and stuff, like, started to get kind of nervous because, even though the vet seemed to think it was maybe just stress-related, they were like, well, what if it's a disease, and, like, what if our horses catch it and stuff like that? So I think, like, some of the students were starting to think maybe I should go board my horse somewhere else, you know what I mean? So then they kind of jump back into the present day, you know, where Joanne and Shambolic Sue are, like, walking around the farm, and Shambolic Sue says, well, maybe the horses were, you know, all uneasy because all of the negative energy that's, like, surrounding this farm or whatever. So then they jump back in time again, because, like I said, this is just a very confusing timeline here. And they said, because they were worried about the horses, they installed an intercom so they could be able to hear the horses from inside the house. And they said that Joanne had actually gotten real close to a lot of her students, and to a point where, like, the students would, like, hang out at her house, like, they'd play cards at night and shit like that. So one particular night, they're all sitting around playing cards and having some wine or whatever, and they hear the horses out in the barn, and they all seem like they're kind of, like, unsettled, you know what I mean? Like, they're making a lot of noise. And then they said they all very distinctly heard they said it sounded like a man whistling. On the reenactment, it kind of sounded like somebody playing a recorder. That's what I thought. But they said that it sounded like a man whistling, like, really loud and, like, really distinctly. And so the students were like, well, is that Jim? And then she's like, no, Jim's out of town, like, on a job, and there's nobody else on the farm but us, so I don't know who the fuck that is. So basically, her and the students were like, well, we better go out in the barn and, like, check, because maybe there's somebody in there, you know what I mean? Because all the horses are making noises and stuff. So they all go out to the barn, and then there's kind of like a sequence where they're all creeping around the barn, and it's like super creepy. And here again is they're creeping through the barn, and they very clearly show like a dude, like a ghost dude, like in one of the stalls.
Yeah.
But she didn't say she saw that. She said she felt like there was a presence in the barn watching her, but she didn't say, holy shit, I saw a ghost dude in the stable, because you'd think that you would say
that's,
that.
That's what I saw. That's what I was talking about.
Right.
He didn't
that's
quite
what I'm saying.
Say that. And that dude's not even paying rent. Just staying in a stall.
Well, that's one of the nice things about being a ghost is that you don't have to pay rent anymore. Pay, you can just be like, you know.
That's right. He's not paying board. Come on, man. Fuck out of stall.
He's like, I'm just invisible. I'm just, you know what I mean?
You don't come out of stall, I'm like a cleaner waterer. Now he's going down there and fucking pull the clean, have to clean them waterers out every fucking day. And in that barn I just showed you, that barn had these gigantic fucking Florida spiders, these big fucking hunting spiders. And fucking, I'd open up the fucking sliding doors to open up the stall doors, and those fucking spiders would be up in the fucking tracks, and they'd jump out. They'd fucking jump out of the fucking track, the roller track. I had one of them land on me one time, and I just, like that.
Yeah, Tom hates
I
spiders.
I fucking hate them. Another time I saw one going up a wall, and the I'd come back there and fucking every day I'd come and a cat would have two or three dead ones on the ground because our barn cat would catch them at night. And I saw one go on the wall and I fucking, bam, I kicked it and it splattered and went up and fucking hit me in the face. The fucking tarantula juice.
That's on you. Tarantula juice.
Tarantula juice. Mm. You grab fucking feed bags out of the feed room and fucking hear them fuckers fucking hit the top of the feed bag. Go, poof. Yeah. Fucking running. Huge fucking spiders.
Hey, spiders got a
huge
spide.
Yeah, as big as a Mexican tarantula. Faster, though. Big hunting spiders.
Yeah, I've seen those. Yeah. I saw a couple of those in my grandfather's
old big fucking
house.
Gray spiders the body's the size of a mouse.
Yeah, they're big. They're big
and then the fucking legs are that big. And they can run straight up a wall fucking at full speed.
I went in the bathroom at my grandfather's house a long time ago and saw one just like right hanging out by the towels.
Right. Couldn't wipe them out. They were living up in the roof.
I don't mind them.
Couldn't get rid of them.
Spiders. I don't mind spiders. I don't. Now, cockroaches. I don't like cockroaches, but I don't mind spiders.
And that barn there had a damn handler's apartment in there, which was basically vacant. And a big storm was coming, and I had to fucking spend 3 days living in there with them fucking spiders. Remember that?
Were they like crawling all over
you? No, I was just afraid that they were coming in.
Ew.
And those all the fucking you listen all night fucking horses making all that goddamn noise and then the hurricane came, because you got to be there.
Right.
If hurricane comes, you got to be there because you can't just stay at home. You got to take care of these horses.
Well, yeah.
You know they're worth a fucking tens of thousands of dollars each one, and these people have entrusted you with these things.
Kanak says, just put you guys on the speakers at work. Everybody's loving the show. Thank y'all. We love you guys.
Love
Pat
you
and Kat.
Thank you very much.
Oh my God. Pressure. But Danny Rowling said, I could have sworn in this episode that they heard ghostly boots walking through the hallway, but maybe it was... Well, I think the kid heard something like a little bit later. And then he also said the kid's bike crash in this episode wasn't even bad enough to get a brush burn, let alone a fouled up back. That's what I thought too. They must not have showed it in the episode the way it really happened, because maybe they couldn't get a stunt kid or whatever. Because yeah, it was like the kid was riding in like dirt. I'm like, you'd think he wouldn't even have scraped his knee or nothing. Holy crap, like I've wiped out on a bike like on a road and like slid and got all the skin off my shins. You know what I mean? And it's like that kid, there's no way he could have broken his back just doing what they showed in the show. So it must have been, like, obviously a lot worse. Because he apparently really did break his back. So, yeah. So they go out to the barn. Like I said she felt a presence. But on the show, they showed, like, a little ghost dude being like, hello, like, coming, just, like, popping out of the stable or whatever. And all the horses are like, well, there's ghosts in here, you know what I mean? And at this point, like, the students kind of start canceling on her because I guess the place is, like, creeping them out. And right around this time, too, she said, and like I said, they just kind of, like, glossed over this or they just went over it really quick because she was kind of checking in the stable and they showed, like, something grabbed her leg, she said. Like, an invisible hand, I'm assuming. Because at first they just kind of showed a pant, her pants, like doing that. I'm like, what the fuck just happened?
Well, later on, that character said that something did grab her.
Yeah, she did say something grabbed her leg.
So it wasn't something, the trickery on the part of the show. She said something grabbed her.
Right. Yeah. Because I was glad they made that distinction because I'm like watching. I'm like, wait, what happened? Like, I couldn't really see.
Let me top
it
off.
Yeah. Because I couldn't really see what it was. It just looked like her pant leg went kind of funny, and I was just like, well. Okay. But yeah, she said something grabbed her leg, something invisible, obviously. And the horse was kind of like flipping out. And then at this point, I guess this was shortly after this happened, then Jim comes in. It's like, oh, I brought new lights because, you know, the ones before were fucked up and I'm going to redo it. And she just like gets all pissed off. She's like, I have ghost shit to deal with right now. It's like, I don't, you know, fuck that shit. You know what I mean? He's like, oh, well, excuse me. I thought you wanted the lights fixed, blah, blah, blah. So there was that. Now, so again, another night, I'm assuming this is a little bit later, and so, like, Jim is at work one night. He apparently, like I said, he was an electrician, so I guess he worked on building sites and stuff, and sometimes he was gone, like, all night or was out of town or whatever. So, Joanne decides that she's gonna call an acupuncturist for the horses. I'm like, there's horse acupuncturists? I don't know why I'm surprised by that, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, so, they got everything for them.
That's what I'm,
massage therapists and everything.
I could see that more than anything, than acupuncture, but you know what I mean, whatever.
I'm not sure if there's anything to it.
No,
as far as the acupuncture thing. You know?
Well, that's what I mean. I was like, I could see massage because that is usually
there is
kind of like,
because
there is something helpful about that, but acupuncture, I'm just kind of, I think the jury's still out on that
massage.
Shit.
Surgery, training, drugs. Those actually work. I don't know. I've actually had acupuncture done to myself after motorcycle injuries. But it was, they not only were they, his name is Dr. Thiago up in Brazil. Not only did he stick needles in there, he also electrified them. So my fucking back was fucking shaking, you know, from like the electromagnetic pulses and everything. And that, I think, relaxed a lot of tendons and muscles to help things go back into place. I don't know if just needles would have done it.
Right.
He was using high tech
shit. The electrodes. Yeah. Electrodes.
He was like putting electrodes in there.
Like some Frankenstein.
Yeah. And after that, I was like, oh man, it feels a lot better. You know, so.
Maybe I should go see if somebody's got some electrified needles because I have like terrible.
Yeah, well, it works.
I have like horrible, like a constant like ball of stress, like right here.
Well,
like,
it'll
in the
totally
middle of my
exhaust.
Blade.
You have a tense muscle, it'll totally exhaust it, and it just loosens up. You know, because it's just.
I don't even remember what it feels like for that muscle to be loose because it hasn't been for like years and years because I'm so used to like being tensed up all the time.
We'll send you to one of them. Massage therapist. Well, fucking Cole's massage therapist.
I know. I've thought about that, and she keeps saying it's like, you know why?
She's cute.
I could give you.
She might
massage.
Even get you a fucking happy ending. Because
she, I mean, she has off. She's a massage. She's a massage therapist.
Yeah.
She's been. She's done it for years.
Well,
and years.
So is her
she
boyfriend.
Has her own, yeah.
He's one too.
Jacqua?
Yeah, Jacqua. And Jacqua's on HRT. He's going. He's doing fucking roids now. He saw me and he's like, dude, I gotta do that. He goes fucking get. He goes, you look fucking great. And then so he's on. And but no, we gotta have Cole over and have Cole work you over. She's cute. She's probably about what 40 now.
I don't know how old she is. Yeah, I love it.
She's
two,
cool.
The two of them are awesome.
She's got kind of a goth chick.
Yeah. We saw him at Mannequins a few weeks ago. That's the last time we were talking to him. But yeah, so the acupuncturist comes over. And before any acupuncturing takes place, I'm guessing, she comes in and says, you know, I'm not only an acupuncturist, I also have psychic abilities.
Because
of course she does. So she comes over and she says, yeah, you got a bunch of spirits in here. It's like not a good situation. And Joanne was like, said she was very, very happy to hear that because I guess she felt like vindicated because I guess her husband didn't believe her. You know what I mean? And the psychic is like, yeah, there's like a whole cloud of negativity like over the farm or whatever because all the fucking ghosts you got here. Now, so later on, and they kind of glossed over this as well because I thought they were going to go more into like the history of the land or whatever. Because they had a scene where Joanne was on the phone talking to, I presume she was talking to Jim. They didn't really specify. But she was talking to him on the phone. It's like, oh, I've been doing some research about the history of the land that we live on. It's like, did you know, like, a plague came through here and, like, killed a whole bunch of people or something like that? And he's like, oh, wow, that's neat or whatever. But then, like, they didn't really mention that again. I'm like, okay. So, so then later she goes to check on the horses like she does every night. And while she's out there in the barn, evidently, David, the son, because I guess this is kind of later at night. So the kid's already in bed asleep. And he hears something that wakes him up. Something that sounds like somebody walking down the hallway, which I think was what Danny Rowling was referring to earlier. It sounded like creaking, like somebody was walking down the hallway. And so it wakes him up, and he kind of, like, creeps out and, like, looks out in the hallway, but he doesn't see anybody. And then he gets back in bed, and then he said, like, the grown-up him said he felt, or he heard somebody walking right by his bed, and he said he felt it too. So I'm assuming he felt like the air of like somebody walking by his bed, and like he heard footsteps, and like walking right by in his room, and obviously no one was there. So that like freaked him out really bad. So he just like starts screaming for his mom, but then his mom runs in, and you know, he's like, there was somebody like walking by, but obviously, you know. So they tell Jim, and you know, he's just like, whatever, you guys are fucking nuts. He doesn't believe it. But then at this point, Joanne just like, cause I was like, wow, she's like reading him the fucking riot act. Cause she's like, look, I'm going to have this fucking property cleansed. So, you know, because I'm sick of this shit. So you just kind of take the kid and get him out of here so we can sort this shit out. And he's just like, okay. Cause she's bad. You know what I mean? Now, sadly, at this part, this bummed me out more than anything, but I don't even know this horse, but I guess like Frisco was her favorite horse. And I guess the vet came back and said, oh, had something really wrong with it. I don't remember what they said was wrong with the horse, but they said we can't do anything for her, so they're gonna have to like put her down, right? And that was like her favorite horse, and I was like, oh man, that's a bummer. That was like that was the saddest thing, the scariest thing about this whole episode, was that they had to like put that horse down. That was like suck. But apparently like all the other horses were okay. They didn't mention anything else about the other horses after that.
What was sad is I was in the industry around the 2008-2009 era. And all the owners went broke during the economic collapse. And so many horses got put down for financial reasons. Just because nobody could pay board. And they couldn't go anywhere. And you couldn't give them away. And they had to make up excuses to put horses down.
I mean, that's
fucking
horrible.
Sad. 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 But they're created out of nothing through an industry. And sometimes when there's too many of them, they have to go back into nothing. It's terrible.
I just hate the way that like people that like some people treat animals like that.
No, they loved those animals, but they couldn't pay board. And then you say, well, maybe I'll put it out to pasture. That all the pastures were fucking filled. Nobody would want it. You know what I mean? You couldn't give them away. So what were they going to do? Just starve?
Yeah.
You couldn't feed them. You know what I mean? There was times where like, well, we'd love to have this horse. You know, it's not ours. It's an owner. We'd love to have it so we keep it, but we can't afford to feed it.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you got fucking so many of them.
Horses are expensive.
You know, and you're like, what are we going to do with, you know, and then vet shows up and we got to do what we got to do. And fucking horse put down. Totally fine. Perfect horse. That was 2008-2009 economic crash. It was heartbreaking.
I don't know if I could.
Yeah.
Well, see, because that's the thing. When I was a little kid, the one thing I wanted to do, like, more than anything, was I wanted to be a veterinarian. Yeah. But then, like, when I got older and I was like, man, a large part of my job is going to be, like,
putting
animals to sleep. And I was like, I can't do that. I can't.
Yeah, but I mean, perfectly fine young animals. Nothing wrong with them. Beautiful, beautiful animals. Good disposition. Highly trained. Owner broke. Couldn't give the horse away. What do you do?
Yeah.
Everybody else has given horses away. Any places that would take them are all full. Just the entire horse industry was just collapsing. And, you know, the fucking banking industry didn't give a fuck. They still want their money. Well, you got to pay.
Yeah.
Pay mortgage, you know, on the fucking places and shit. It was fucking heartbreaking. It's just bad shit that happens. And it was just like some fucking Tiger King shit with a Tiger King killing them damn tigers because he had too many of them and couldn't afford them. I kind of understand it because it was happening in the horse industry, but man, it's terrible to see.
Yeah, it's like, I just...
Beautiful fucking tigers and big cats who are have good relationships with human beings just being shot because no one can afford to support them. The only thing that makes me feel a little bit better is that they came from nothing. They were from a breeding program. They're not from the wild. They had to return back to nothing. But still, yeah, but they're, I mean, they're still, living creatures.
That's
you know?
What I mean. It's like they just because yeah. they came, just because, oh, if it wasn't for us, they wouldn't be here. Yeah. But they're here now.
Right.
That's still an individual.
The thing is
animal.
How much meat they eat a day. And you have
well,
to have
yeah,
people to fucking pay
like
for
I said,
that. And there wasn't
fucking...
many people to pay. You
that's
know?
Why I kind of, that kind of the thing, the whole Tiger King thing and like yeah. all that kind of stuff, I always kind of feel like maybe if you don't have a necessary reason to have like a bunch of tigers or a bunch of horses or something yeah. like that, maybe just don't.
Don't create them. But
maybe just don't.
Yeah.
Because like, what if you go broke at some point, like you said, and then like you end up having to put them all to sleep or something. I mean, just like fucking just
well,
don't.
Well, the thing is I always thought those, man, those things were fucking vicious and dangerous. You know what I mean? Fucking, and then you'd hear about Romans keeping lions in their houses and shit and that. But then I didn't really believe it. But then I see all these videos coming out of Russia where they let people own big cats. And they're just like any other house cat or dog. Just they have to have certain standards. They big fences so they can't escape or anything. Eventually, it's going to have to come to port where if you want tigers and big cats to exist in the world, they're not going to exist in the wild because their habitat's fucking not what it was. In the wild, there's only going to be a few thousand of them. If you want a cat population, they're going to have to live in people's homes. Which,
yeah,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Well,
domestic
like I said,
cats live in people's homes.
I don't honestly, that's yeah. why I don't have a problem. Well, okay. I don't have a problem with zoos if they're not like a zoo. Like if it's like a, if
yeah,
they have like
nice.
A like
yeah.
a breeding program and they yeah. actually have habitat for the animals and stuff yeah. like that. You know, like even something like Animal Kingdom at, you know, Disney. I mean, they take care of all their animals. They have a lot of room for them. They have a breeding programs for ones that are endangered and stuff like that. It's like, I don't have a problem with that because, like I said, you know, we wouldn't have those animals anymore if we didn't
yeah.
help them out.
There's a good channel on YouTube called I Am Puma. It's a Russian couple and they have a mountain lion and they have a cheetah and they have a, you know, good little little stalls for them, and they're allowed to just roam around, and they have big walls. They can't escape, and they take it out for walks. They got put jackets on it and leashes, and then they get in a bed with the dude, and it's obvious that these big cats just love this guy, you know, who his daddy, you know, and it just that's their pookie. That's the future of those big cats. If you want big cats to exist in the world, they have to live in symbiosis with humans. Just like all the other animals, like dogs and cats and goldfish and all the other domestic animals. They're going to have to become kind of domesticated, which people love these animals. Nothing wrong with that. They're feeding them.
Yeah, I mean, as you long know. As you know what you're doing,
yeah.
you're taking care of them, and they
yeah.
have, and they have like, a reasonable
yeah.
life.
Oh, I mean, you go, look at I Am Puma. That fucking cat's loving it, you know. Just as happy as Pookie, you know. Pookie's not escaping. Pookie's happy right in the house. Those big cats are exactly the same.
Except when she gets mad at us for doing something, like, a little bit wrong.
yeah.
Like, not holding the meat stick at the proper angle for her to lick it.
Those big cats he's got are not defanged and they're not declawed, and I'd feel safe around them. Because they grew up around people.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you never know. Like, an animal could turn on you, but a dog could turn on
yeah.
you. You know what I mean?
That's just the risk you accept. They're your child, basically, in this situation. A human child can turn on you.
Well, that's what I was, yeah,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's happened before,
right.
too. So it's like, you never really, you never.
Right.
You know. I wouldn't advise going out and, like, approaching them in the wild. That would be stupid, but, yeah.
It's not the same situation.
Right, it's not the same. If you've, like, raised them and they've been around people all their lives and don't generally perceive people as food, then maybe it's okay.
That mountain lion gets in the bed with that guy and curls up with him. And just puts his head on it loves that man.
Yeah.
It's just a male mountain lion, you know.
And he's like, this is my buddy.
Yep. This is daddy. You know.
That's probably, probably funny. Danny Rowling said zoos are prisons for animals. Yeah, I do. Depending on what it is, they used to have, I mean, the Sanford.
They're better than they were.
The Sanford Zoo, when I went there when I was a kid, and it was bad. It was like all the shit was like really small and I was like, man, this is a bummer. But like I went there a few years ago and it's much, much better.
Yeah.
And like I said, I kind of feel like nowadays people have more awareness of it. And so it's like if you're going to build something like that, you really need to replicate the animal's wild habitat as closely as possible.
Animals are far more advanced than people a long time ago thought.
Yeah.
They're
you can't just stick a tiger in a little bitty cage.
Yeah, on a flat fucking concrete
on
floor.
On concrete.
with like they used to do.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking totally inhumane.
They didn't think anything about
it. Yeah, well, it's just a tiger. It'd be all right.
It's just a tiger. It's not a person.
They don't feel anything.
Well, they didn't really seem to give much of a shit about people back then either, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no. Didn't matter. They had pygmies in the zoo.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So it's like they, you know, they didn't really have a lot of sympathy or compassion for
you. Can check that out. They had
anyone who wasn't them.
You could go to the New York Zoo back in the early 1900s. They had pygmies in there. Pygmy humans.
Yeah, and I was like, that's a human being? Like,
in the zoo.
Not okay. Like, you know what I mean? It was just like, and the fact that they just did that, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking the good old
Look
days,
at that.
Ladies you and know. Gentlemen.
Yeah.
No thanks. They didn't know shit about shit back then. But yeah. All right. So where was I? Okay. So I'm almost. I only have this much of this. Okay. So. So the horse had to be put down. That's how we got onto that topic. So Joanne gets some sage and starts doing the thing. You know, like around the sage and whatnot. She said while she was doing that around the farm, she said that she heard a whirlwind of voice. She said, called it a whirlwind of voices and air. That's what she said.
Okay.
So I guess I was like, okay, fair enough.
Coming under psychic attack.
I guess. You know, I'm sure they made it look a lot more exciting on the show than it actually was. But she did say there was like doors rattling and the horses were freaking out and the lights were swinging and flashing and shit like that. So that went on for a little while she was sage and everything. And then everything stopped suddenly, she said. So she's like, ooh, well, oh, awesome. I did it. That was easy. You just light some sage and then Bob's your uncle. You know what I mean? So then she says for a while after that, things were normal. And they invested in, like, an arena. They had part of their land, I guess, kind of, like, you know, torn up. So they were, like, going to build an arena for their students, like, to train for competitions and stuff. So a contractor had cleared some land for it, but the ghosts get pissed at all the changes. And I guess that's what one of the psychics said to her, too. It's like, yeah, you keep messing with their land, and it's like they're going to get mad, and they're going to get all, like, stirred up or whatever. Now, not long after, Danny Rowling mentioned this earlier, the contractor goes bankrupt and basically was like, bye, and like, skip town. So all the money that they had given him up front, because I presume you had to pay him a percentage, he just took it and left. So they lost all their money that they invested in the, that they were going to do with the arena. So I don't know what happened with that, because I don't think they brought it up again. But then they said the son... I guess the son, David, was, like, doing some shit, and he suddenly, this is how he described it. He said, I felt like I was in a barrel going to the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
And then they had him, like, hearing, like, a man's laugh, like a man going, ha, 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 like, laughing, like, all sinister.
Felt like he was engulfed by a deep blackness.
Yeah, something like that. Fear, yeah. I don't remember what he was doing at the time. I forgot to write it down. What was he doing?
Do we have any commercials or anything we have to play? We're good with
no, we're fine. Okay. Like I said, I'm almost done with
just reminding people that super chats are active, and so are is super thanks. The super thanks feature is there if you're listening to this show as recorded. So just passing the collection plate around gives Jenny some money.
Yeah. So, at this point, like I said, some of Joanne's students had taken off because they were creeped out by the police. But she got some new ones to come over, and she's, like, has them in the house, and they're, like, discussing terms or whatever. And then one of them sees something in the house levitating. I think it was, like, wasn't it, like a radio battery or, like, a toy battery or something like that? It looked like a battery pack type thing. I'm not really sure what it was. But they said they saw it, like, come up off the counter and, like, levitate. And then it kind of, like, threw it across the room. So, like, some poltergeist activity. So the students all saw that and were like, nope, I'm out. You know, never mind. We're not going to board here because you got, like, fucking ghosts and shit. So, but that was pretty much the only thing that definitively moved that a lot of people saw, right? I mean, that I remember.
Yeah.
That's all I wrote down anyway. What was that battery kind of like floating?
It was a battery, so yeah. It was right. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I said. I think it was like a battery pack.
Yeah, yeah.
Like something that would go like in a, like a RC car or something. So then later that night, Joanne, like after that had happened and after the students like took off, were like, yeah, fuck this fucking creepy place. She asked Jim, she's like, can we please like call a priest or something? You know, because I can't really take it and I'm losing all of my clients, like I'm losing all of my customers and my business might go under. And Jim still doesn't believe her. However, when they're both sitting there, like, talking about it, he said that he heard, well, they both heard, a kid's voice, like a little girl's voice, saying, like, mommy and daddy, or, like, calling mommy and daddy. And they said they both heard it very, very distinctly. And I guess this kind of, like, tipped Jim over into, okay, I believe you now. You know what I mean? Because it's, like, there's no explanation for that. Because there's no little girls on the property. They have a boy, you know what I mean? So, at that point, he's like, okay, yeah, you can call the priest now. So, a priest comes out and blesses the house. And it actually does help for a bit, although Joanne said she still kind of felt a presence, or it still felt, like, really oppressive or whatever. And at this point, I think, in the timeline, this is where the bike accident happens that they showed way back at the beginning of the show. So, I think this is actually the point where it happened in the actual timeline. Now, I think what it looked like what happened was the kid was riding, like I said, he was riding in dirt. I don't know what really happened because there's no way you would break your back like just falling in dirt like that. But anyway, so he's riding his bike, and then they implied that there was some kind of weird negative energy thing, and like one of the horses kind of got flipped out and like was kind of like rearing back or whatever, and then something and then I don't know if demons like tipped the bike over, I don't know, they just, like I said, it was very vague, but whatever it was that happened, the kid fell off the bike and broke his back, and like I said, so he had to go to the hospital. He's fine now, like he did recover even though his back was broken. So basically then the shambolic Sue, she says, well, I don't know if we're going to be able to muster up enough vibrational energy, I think that's what she said, to get rid of all of these spirits for good, because there's all of this evil on the property, it's a spiritual gateway or whatever. And so, like, after the kid got hurt, they're kind of like, okay, well, we definitely have to do something about this, because it's getting dangerous now. So Sue, for some reason, thinks that this presence, whatever it was, like, escaped into the woods. So, okay. And so Sue's like, I'm going to go in the woods and look for this. I'm going to cleanse the shit. I'm going to get rid of the shit. So she goes out in the woods, and they have, like, a sequence where she's out there, like, walking through the woods like that. And they kind of imply that, like, all the ghosts are, like, coming at her. And she's like that. You know what I mean? So, and she said, like, later, she said, oh, well, she's been doing this a while, I guess. And she's like, I've been stabbed by ghosts and, like, choked and scratched and stuff like that. So, I don't know how much of that is true. But so she tries to convince the spirits to move on by basically telling them, you're no longer alive, which, you know, harsh. You know, please ascend to a better place. Now, apparently what she figured out was that all of these spirits are out in the woods, including some kids and some Native Americans and various other people hanging out there. They want to go, but something is holding them back, because you can't ever just have, like, friendly, like, you know, non-interfering motherfucker spirits. You always have to have one evil douchebag spirit that's like controlling all the other ones and being an asshole about it, you know what I mean? And that's what happened in this situation also. There's this one spirit named Samuel who is keeping all the other ghosts there somehow. I'm not really sure how all that works, but there's always one asshole, isn't there, in the ghost world. Apparently didn't he say leave my slaves alone?
So he had
all the ghosts. Yeah. I mean, I wrote that down, so I'm guessing that's what I was like. I'm pretty sure that's what I heard. So I was like, he's having all these other ghosts do his laundry or what? I don't know. So he's like, I don't know what a ghost would need slaves for, but okay.
Yeah, just to talk to him, keep him company.
I guess. But yeah, so
there's hoes. That's evidently the main thing. A high end call girl or fucking male, what do they call them? Male companion does. Most of the time it's just fucking talking and listening. Like, you know, fucking dude in the industry, I was listening to what he was saying. $1,700 an hour call girl, right? Most of the time most of the time she's just being taken out on some dude's yacht while he bitches about his wife.
I imagine a lot of the times it's probably just that.
It's just that. Yeah. And
which I don't know which would be worse, having to fuck the dude or having to listen to him
bitch about
hour.
His fucking wife. That's what evidently was.
That's a tough decision.
Yeah. So,
poor baby.
So, girl, the more they cost, the more like a of counselor.
Like a therapist.
Like a therapist they are.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I kind of suspected as much.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. Well, that's the thing. I kind of feel like sometimes those dudes, like, hire this, like, because they want to do, like, really weird fucked up shit, like poop on your chest or something.
Maybe. Evidently, shit like that in Dubai is happening.
Give you a clue.
But they pass them around quite a bit there, and it's porn stars that are doing that, too. The high-end companions are, there's a... evidently, they're... Most of the clients are extremely wealthy or they're celebrities, so they just want discretion. They just don't want it to get out what's going on.
Right.
And the guy or the girl that's doing this doesn't really have a social media presence. That way they can go to parties and shit and people can't Google their faces right. And go, that's a hooker. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's that kind of shit. And they don't really come from working class. They're at least middle class and they know upper class ways so they can handle themselves in mixed in higher society, mixed companies, without giving it away that they're, you know, not rich. That's a lot of it, being an actor or an actress, because they're taking them places like right. Ski resorts and shit.
Yeah, and they can't like
they can't give it away that they're there for hire.
They can't be in there like, you know,
yeah,
picking their nose or
right or fucking freaking out over the cost of something on a damn menu. You know what I mean?
Holy shit, what are we?
Yeah,
millionaires?
Yeah. That kind of shit. So they
like I would be doing.
They have to have upper class ways. Yeah.
Is this sandwich gold plated? Yeah. What the fuck?
There's a good channel called Sterling Cooper, and he's an ex male, straight male companion. Who would hunt whales. It was mostly Chinese millionaire women who were in marriages that were like political marriages. And they'd take in places and mostly it was just talking to them because they couldn't trust anybody. Everyone wanted money from them. And he said that fucking he'd make a contract for, you know, 10,000, you know what I mean, for the week. And then she'd take him around and she'd buy fucking $20,000 earrings. And he's like, I should have charged this bitch more. Yeah, that kind of shit, you know. But,
she's like, hey, man.
Yeah.
I'm just doing what I do.
Right.
So.
But
you hired me. That's your fault.
The way he looked at it, you know what I mean? It was, he was charging them for the time and for the experience. But he said the sex was free. He said he would have done it anyway. It was just... He needed the expenses to get out there with him, and they had to foot the bill, and he had to role play and be people that he wasn't because she's taking him places.
Right.
You know.
Danny Rowling said, there was a cop who was just executed who wanted his wife to shit in his mouth, and when she didn't, he had her killed.
What? I'm going to go to the restaurant.
That seems a little bit of an overreaction. Yeah, just a tad. I mean, asking somebody to shit in your mouth, that's kind of... a big ask. I mean, I know some people are into that. I'm not judging. You know, it's gross, but okay. But I mean, I'm sure there are professionals that will do that for you if you like talk to your spouse about it. I don't even know what to make of that. I'm gonna have to like look that fucking Robert Fratta, FRATTA, is that what that says? I'm gonna have to look that up. I mean, I'm sure it wasn't just... I mean, I'm sure it was probably, like, a lot of factors, but that was just, like, the straw that broke the camel's back, I guess. the straw that shit in the camel's mouth. Oh, my God. What a weird thing to kill somebody over. I mean, I guess it's not the weirdest thing I've heard, but that's up there. That's up there, though. But yeah, so where were we? Oh yeah, ghost slaves. So this ghost Samuel is, like I said, there's always one asshole in the ghosts, and Samuel is it in this one. So he's holding all the other spirits there somehow, and so they can't leave on this property. And apparently, while Shambolic Sue was trying to get rid of Samuel, they had like a funny scene where she's like struggling. With, like, an invisible... It's like, you know what I mean? Like, they had the ghosty person there, so it didn't look quite so silly, but yeah. So she's, like, apparently battling with this invisible asshole ghost. And so she said that he, like, pulled her on the neck and, like, knocked her over, like, knocked her to the ground or whatever. And then, but basically, so this was, like, a little anticlimactic, I thought, because, like, all that happened, like, there's, like, a couple seconds of, like, you know, human ghost fisticuffs or whatever. And then, like, she gets pushed to the ground, and then she gets back up, and she basically, all she has to do is, like, push the ghost down and released all his negative energy. I'm like, well, shit, man, who knew that's all you had to do? Just push the ghost the fuck down, push him out on the ground. Just like you would do to, like, a little kid on the playground. Pow! And then he's like, oh, I've been here for hundreds of years, but now I'm, like, I'm all fucking one with the universe now, or whatever. So, yeah. So she did it. And that was it. She just pushed the ghost down. The end.
Yeah, push that ghost down. She just... Yeah.
It'd have been funnier if she'd have, like, kicked him in the nuts, like, just for good measure. I kicked the ghost right in the nuts and then, like, released all his negative energy. But, after that, they implied, like I said, they didn't really say this, they spell it out, but in the reenactment, they implied that when that happened, like, out in the woods, like, the ghost fight or whatever, I guess Joanne was back at the house, or in the barn, and it implied that, like, when the ghost got pushed down and the negative energy, like, went into the universe or whatever, Joanne was like, oh, I felt like a big blanket had been lifted off her, like, lifted off the property. So it's almost like, oh, she knew that it had worked, you know what I mean, even though it was, like, far away. I don't, like I said, that's just kind of what they showed in the thing. So basically after that, it seemed like everything went back to normal, right?
It's difficult to say, because then the announcer comes in at the end and goes, and we'll never know if they did the darkness still.
Well, so, yeah, I mean, they always want to leave it open, like, just in case, because it's scarier. Yeah. Like, you're just like, well, the shit might come back. You're
worrying about the shit afterwards.
You know, yeah, you might be worrying about, like, you can't just push a ghost down, and he's just right. Like, motherfucker, I'm coming back. I'm going to kick
pushing
you
a ghost down to hell can only strengthen it to return later for your ass.
I mean, that's probably what would happen.
Jenny's like, yeah, okay.
Ghost coming for your ass.
Ghost coming for your ass.
That's the porn version.
You gotta say that shit in dramatically. Ass.
with a bunch of ass. Z's. Yeah. And, like, some extra syllables. And I'm pretty sure, like I said, everything kind of went back to normal, or did it. And then the last sentence that I wrote was, Jim got a Mario stash.
Okay.
I just wrote it at the bottom because I thought I should mention that.
How long were we on for?
An hour and 17 minutes.
That was actually a pretty short show. Is anything else that we have to talk about?
I don't think so. That was the end of that episode. But, like, because, like I said, it's an okay episode, but I really wish they had just filmed it like they would normally film it in chronological order. Right. Like, one, they didn't really give you a good sense of, like, when this took place, because they never told you what year it was. And they always do, because I always write it down. But they didn't tell you when it took place, so I was just like, well, when the fuck is this even happening? Was this, like, 20 years ago? When was this? I mean, I assume it was something like 10, 15 years prior, because the kid was 10, 11, 12, something like that, and then he was, like, maybe in his 20s, like, when they interviewed him. So, you know, whatever. It was, like, a decade or so. But they didn't really specify, so whatever. And I don't know why they made the decision to tell the story out of order like that. Because usually they do, like, a build-up. That's what makes it scary, right? It's like, oh, well...
Might have been a different writer.
Light started flashing, and it's like, you know, that's how they usually do it. It's like little shit, and then, like, it builds up, and then all of a sudden, like, a ghost pushed my kid off a bike and broke his back. You know what I mean?
Might have been a different director for this episode.
That's what I was thinking. And it's, like I said, I don't know if they just thought the story wasn't exciting enough, so they're like, well, let's open with the broken back.
We'll mix it around.
Like, and imply that the ghost did it, even though they didn't really... lean into that. They just kind of wanted you to think that, I think, but they didn't really want to say it outright.
Yeah.
They were talking around a lot of things. You know what I mean? Danny Rowling said this episode was very basic. Yeah.
It was basically confusing.
Yeah.
And vague.
And I didn't really get that. And so, I don't know. So
the storytelling actually, the story structure kept throwing me out of the story. Like I was going, wait, hold on. Where's the beginning of this story? And then it goes
back. That's what I was thinking, too. I'm like, wait, when did this happen?
What? Now, yeah.
Is this now? Is this then?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Is this later? Is this in the future? Who am I?
Right, yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it was like that. It was like that. Ben says, I saw the menu last night. It was really good. Yeah, I've been wanting to see that, actually. I'll get around to watching that.
Oh, that's the one that people are all coming down. Yeah, and weren't they killing and eating people?
No, I don't think so.
That was that horror movie we saw.
No, this one's new.
Okay.
The one that we saw, well, the one that were killing and eating people. Well, we saw a couple different ones.
We saw a trailer for that in the movies.
Yeah. We saw a couple different ones like that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, this one's, like, pretty new. Yeah, Danny Rowling is talking about the guy with the shitting in the mouth thing.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, she was going to divorce him, so he hired a hitman. I mean,
I didn't hear that story.
I didn't either. So he's like, he said his name, Robert Fratta. Fratta. F-R-A-T-T-A.
It must have been a different reason why he did it.
Well, that's what I said. I was like, I'm sure that wasn't the only reason. Right. That was probably just like the...
Yeah, just one of the things that they wanted.
The catalyst.
Yeah, they're just trying to make the story more salacious. You won't shit in my mouth, so I'm going to kill you, bitch. That's some fucking freaky shit. I'm going to hire a whole fucking hitman, you non-shitter.
A whole hitman.
A whole hitman. Not a half a hitman. A whole fucking hitman.
Or a quarter of a
hitman. You non-shitting bitch. How dare you? You guys kicked me off.
Now I want a shirt. Now I want a shirt that says, I'm going to hire a whole hitman, you non-shitting bitch.
Yeah. I had the whole porta potty set up and everything.
Oh my God. We can't get too far down this rabbit hole because I'll start gagging if I think about it too much.
He's got her on a special diet.
Oh, don't start. Yeah, please don't start. Please don't start.
I want you to eat nothing but cheddar cheese for fucking 2 weeks. And broccoli.
She's going to have a hard time shitting if all she eats is cheddar cheese.
Make it solid.
Like a solid square. Oh my God. I'm starting to get gaggy.
I heard that from Howard Stern. They had some guys calling into Howard Stern. Some guys says, when I was a teenager, it was a dude who would pay me to fuck the shit in his mouth.
Yeah.
And fucking like a couple of days later, some other dudes are calling in and goes, yeah. And then they started talking to each other. Yeah, I lived just a couple blocks over. I was
know
doing that
guy.
Too. And he goes, was he making you eat the cheese? And he goes, yeah, I'd eat cheese and he'd fucking pay me $100. I'd eat a whole bunch of cheese and shit, sit on a porta potty and shit in his mouth. Fucking ridiculous, man. And fucking Howard Stern goes, only on a Howard Stern show would you find out that fucking eating cheese makes good taste and duty. That's what he said. I was fucking laughing, man.
Well, I mean, you know, that might be some information you might need one of these days. I can't imagine a situation where you might need to know that, but you do.
He was a freaky old dude in his
60s. Knowledge is never wasted.
Freaky old dude in his 60s with a fucking, you know, fucking bald on his fucking top of his head and fucking hair around about with glasses. He was like something out of damn Breaking Bad. He was like that. He was like out of his 60s who was fucking paying teenage boys to do that. That was his thing. Fucking weird. Some weird shit. Isn't it?
Like I said,
they got some fucking weird mutant motherfuckers out there doing weird shit, man. I'm glad that that's not common. I'd go crazy if that was common. You know what I mean? I'd go insane.
Be like, I don't imagine that.
Imagine if you like just everybody you know is doing something weird all that. You know what I mean? It's something different each one. You're like, fuck. Get me out of here.
You kind of like finding out all kinds of shit. Mm-hmm.
Well, every few weeks you find out somebody you know does some weird shit.
I don't have a problem with weird shit. It's like,
at that level?
But gross shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, on the whole, I'm a big advocate of if everyone is consenting and you're not hurting anybody, you know, whatever you do in the privacy of your home, that's on you. And just, you don't got to tell me about it or nothing, or send me pictures. But
what if you're dating some girl you're making out with? You go, oh, this is my new sweetheart, man. She's so fucking sweet and innocent. It turns out she's eating her own vomit while you're not around. Just weird shit like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're like, nah. Eats gross shit, vomits it up, and then drinks it up. And then, you know what I mean? It just weird shit like that. You know what I mean? I'm glad that I don't live in a world like that.
You kind of do though, but
I don't live in a world like that.
I don't think it. Tom's like, please don't tell me that.
Don't tell me that.
Well, people do weird shit. I'm not saying that. I don't think it's as common as But people do stuff.
Got this
like
prettiest
that.
Girl in the world you fucking love her. Turns out she eats her own boogers when nobody's watching. That kind of weird shit.
I imagine a lot.
Imagine a lot of that shit.
I happen. Imagine a lot of people probably.
Yeah,
do
she's
that.
A booger eater. Like a gorilla. You know, fucking up in a cage eating gorilla. Oh, fuck.
Now he's grossing himself out.
I gotta stop thinking like this.
Man. I know. Why are you going
just ruining everything?
You're ruining everything.
It's not even trend. Not even trend, dude.
Yeah, you're not even on that show. Well, Tom's like, bye, I'm going to the moon, okay? Yeah, it's just like, I don't even want to be here anymore. Yeah. Aw, poor Tom.
It's all right.
It'll be all right. I promise I don't do anything gross, like, without
you. I know. I've been hanging out with you fucking almost, what, 13 years? Probably 12 years, maybe now?
I'm not gross. I mean, I'm not any grosser than, like, an average
motherfucker.
No,
you're pretty good. You're pretty good.
An average motherfucker. I don't do gross shit.
You shower every now and then.
Every now and then. Every now and then.
I'm just teasing.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, Ben says, look at the testimony of the experts at the Albert Fish murder trial if you're interested in that sort of thing. Yeah. We did a show about Albert Fish, did we not?
I don't know how much of what he claimed to have done was true, though. I mean...
Yeah, some of it might have been, like, true, and then some of it might have been a little... fantasy-based.
Yeah, he told all kinds of stories that was never...
Some porkies.
Yeah, that never really materialized. Well, he ate that one little girl. He said, I didn't rape her, but I ate her. You know, she cried when I told her I was going to eat her. I don't believe that he didn't rape her. I think he raped her. That motherfucker was a sex maniac. Nothing he did is he said he found a little black boy and beat him to death. He was like a little 5-year-old black boy and beat him to death and that nobody noticed. I don't believe that happened. Remember when he said that?
Yeah.
There was no body was ever found. There's all kinds of shit that he claimed to have done. That when you understand how Albert Fish was, he liked to magnify his own fucking grossness. He got off on you being repelled and repulsed by him, so he would just make up shit. He did shit, but I think he also made up shit.
Well, that's the thing with a lot of those types of serial killers or people with those pathologies, is that, yeah, they do real fucked up shit, but they imagine real fucked up shit, too, and a lot of times they conflate the two things.
Or they just lie.
Yeah, because I think they kind of, well, in a way, like you said, I think they kind of get off on everyone thinking they're monstrous, like, in some ways. So it's like, they're like, well, I did some real bad shit, but I'm going to, like, embellish it, like, to make it even worse or, like, more disgusting.
They're in captivity, and they're getting off on the reactions of the law enforcement and the investigators they're talking to.
Yeah, because everyone's, like, horrified.
Yeah, so they run out of fucking real crimes, so they start making up new crimes.
Yeah.
To freak them out. You can't trust them. You have to have physical evidence. If their bodies aren't there and they can't really pin down the time or the date, no. Nah.
Ben said one of the psychiatrists testified at the Albert Fish thing that it was fairly common for people in all walks of life to eat excrement. I find that hard to believe.
This is Victorian era. They thought all
kinds of
weird
shit.
Maybe
they were a bunch of shit eaters back then.
I don't think they were. I think what it is...
But I don't know why they would be.
They were getting off into that damn Freudian psychology, which is totally debunked. Okay? Freud was wrong about almost everything. So they just assumed, yeah, that's gross shit. People are probably doing it. That's just, you know...
Gross-ass
motherfuckers. Yeah, people are gross. That's what they're doing.
No, I mean, people are gross, but they're not that gross.
Yeah, that's not common. That's rare.
I've never met anybody that...
If it was common, me and Jenny would know about it. We know all those fetish motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't hide it.
Now,
from
I do know... I don't know anybody personally, but I do know that there's a... It's not a big... It's a small, like, percentage of, like, the fetish thing that are into, like, scat play, that are into poop and stuff. Because I've been to fetish parties where I didn't see anybody doing it live, but they did have, like, a lot of film of it that you could watch if you wanted to.
It's not the mainstream population.
No. But, yeah, like, even in the fetish scene, that's kind of like,
they're like, eh. Most of them are like,
let's just go over here and get whipped. I'm not really into that. You know what I mean?
Most fetish stuff is just group stuff. Here, come on, man. Fucking let's double team my wife. That type of shit. Or let's get our wives to make out, fucking, you know, and then we'll make out. They do shit like that. You know what I mean? It's not...
And I kind of feel like overwhelmingly, it's almost overwhelmingly like BDSM.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, like I said, like I said, nowadays, like is pretty vanilla. I feel like I think it was shocking back in the day. Maybe
a big element of it is fashion, what they're wearing,
yeah,
and how things look. So and the music, that I think is some of the biggest stuff. But fucking man, we know this couple, Brian and Becky. She's an attorney and he's an ex-con that she met. And that's a huge fetish couple. They're upper middle class.
We just saw them Saturday.
And they're in their 50s. And they get girlfriends that live with them for a while and all kinds of... They got little dungeons.
They have a dungeon in their house.
And for a while, a teenage daughter was living in that same situation, but they kind of like had little... apartments up in the little rooms, you know, they had a nice, real nice house. And the daughter was just kind of embarrassed by the parents. And she was totally normal. Totally
I feel
normal.
Like teenagers are always embarrassed by their parents. Just, whatever their parents do, they're like, it's not cool. Yeah.
And
parents
the girlfriend's like, there and everything. Yeah. It's just,
yeah, she was always just kind of like,
ew, nasty, you know. Just fun. It was funny.
Old people.
Well, it's funny shit.
Old people doing like all this fucking shit. Yeah. It was going on. I wonder what happened to her. I haven't seen
her. Well, she's old enough to be long gone now.
Well, I know. I don't know. I haven't seen her in a long time.
She's probably married now. That was, what, 10 years ago? And she was probably 17 then. So she's probably pushing 30.
Yeah, she was 18, 19 then. I don't know if it was 10 years ago, but it was a while back.
Maybe 8.
It was a while back.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Danny Rowling said, at the end of a scat play party, there's always a brown jacket waiting for you, like golfers get on the PGA Tour. So gross. It's just it's just
terrible.
Gross. Like I said, I know people are into their own thing, and if you're not hurting anybody, fine. But it's like, don't tell me about it, and I don't want to hear about it.
One of the weirdest things about fish was just how masochistic he was. But that's pretty unusual for a serial murderer.
Yeah, usually they're just sadists.
Usually they're just sadistic. But he was masochistic. He would take all these damn needles and stick them up in his taint, and these things were fucking deep in him. Some of them things were up in his bladder.
Yeah.
Had worked their way. He was filled with fucking needles that he stuck up in himself. And he said, and they'd been in there for years.
Yeah, they have, like, you can see the x-rays.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
Yeah.
There's some messed up people in the world.
In his body.
There's some messed up people in the world.
Yeah.
Thankfully, not many are as messed up as that.
Yeah.
But.
And he had a whole religious element where he wanted to experience Jesus' suffering, and he's the devil and Jesus combined. You know, he's making people suffer, but then he suffers the same amount. Just it's sadomasochism in the same way.
Ben says everyone needs a hobby.
And what was weird is he was a little old man doing this.
Yeah.
A lot of it. A little old man. Harmless looking. Little old man eating 10-year-old girls and shit.
It's like, yeah, I enjoy gardening and stamp collecting and eating children and sticking needles
and
in my taint.
Yeah, my instinct would be, man, I'm going to beat that dude to death if I saw some shit like that. But then I'd have to fucking pause and it says, whatever I do to this guy, he's going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean? Yeah, that's probably what he wants.
Because he was masochistic. And I was like, well, how do
the whole time you'd be doing it, he'd be like, more.
Yeah,
and
right,
you'd be
like,
well, shit,
like,
this
well,
is
how
not
do
accomplishing
I crack
anything.
This motherfucker, you know what I mean?
It's not accomplishing.
You could do something to him like those cartel dudes fucking... I get videos from Mexico of fucking some of the shit the cartel dudes are doing. Vivisecting a man alive. And they got fucking blood plasma and all kinds of shit to keep him alive. And he's nothing but just an exposed skull. And a rib cage with internal organs in it. Everything else is gone, and he's still alive. Okay, you could probably do that to fucking Albert Fish, and he'd love it. So what are you gonna do?
That's what I mean. You can't really do it.
Yeah.
Ben says there was an utterly infamous criminal called Gary Webb here in Victoria. I've heard of that guy actually, who was a self-mutilator. He cut pretty much everything off while he was imprisoned. Maybe we should do a show about that dude. I've heard of him, but I don't know that much about
him. Cut everything off of himself? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Who was this?
Gary Webb.
Okay.
Interesting.
I'd like to find out about
I'm going to write that down. Because,
sounds interesting.
Write that down. Yeah. Because like I said, it's not, you don't see it much with serial killers. Serial killers, like I said, are usually sadistic. Like, they want to take their thing out on others. You don't usually see an Albert Fish situation where he's punishing himself just as much, which is, I'm always kind of interested in that psychology.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All right, so it's 9 o'clock. I probably got to start getting ready to wind down so I can get up early again in the morning. Oh, Med said it was all in the prison cameras, too. Okay, well, I'm going to end up watching that.
Okay.
If we do a show about that, I'm going to end up watching that. So.
Good.
Yeah, that'll be good. I'll put it in the poll, the next poll. So, yeah. So, if you want to vote in the polls, by the way, either go over and join us on Patreon, or you can do a membership on YouTube, because I also post the polls on the YouTube community tab for members only, so you can vote on what we're going to talk about. And the show that we're going to... That was a good segue, wasn't it? I didn't even mean to do that. The show we're going to do on Wednesday, on the main show, because I don't think we're going to stream tomorrow, because I'm worn out, and I need to take a break. But the show we're going to do on Wednesday... I've been wanting to do this show for a long time. We're going to talk about acquired savant syndrome. Do you know what that...
Yeah,
you
know what I that know is, what right? savant syndrome
what, they call acquired? It. Well, they call it sudden genius syndrome. It's right. It's basically people who get a head injury and then suddenly you can do all kind of like amazing shit.
Oh, that's going to be a good one.
So, so I've been watching like a couple... I watched like a couple TED Talks about it and stuff like that like today. So I'm kind of like gearing up and I've got like a couple papers printed out about it that I want to read. And so that should be a good show. So here's, that's going to be on Wednesday. What?
That guy who was in the Project Stargate, he was in the Army and got shot in the K-pop, which is a helmet. And then he started dreaming true after that. And they put him in that psychic Army unit to do remote viewing. It would be like an acquired savant syndrome. He couldn't do it until he got shot in the head. That's some weird shit.
I didn't even realize, maybe I should save this for the show, but I didn't realize that. I kind of thought, this will be like a little bit of a teaser, I guess. I kind of thought that it's like, oh, well, it wakes up something in your brain. It's not exactly waking something up.
It's actually
more like turning something off.
Turn something off.
Which I think is kind of interesting. Yeah. And, LSD like, actually, shit. The TED Talk I was watching, with a neurologist, he was talking about that, too.
Yeah, shuts off the inhibitor neurons. Right. So they just start firing like crazy, and then your consciousness is bigger than it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're aware of more.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and we'll get into, like, what... Because they don't know a huge amount about it, but they do know, like, enough about it to sort of simulate it a little bit, like, to a small extent. So, which I thought was really interesting. So we'll get into that.
Got high on LSD one time and watched on television some magicians, and no magician could fool me when I was on LSD. I saw every trick and understood how it was done.
And that, like, from what I've been reading and watching, like, that makes complete sense.
Yep.
Like, what they think, like, why that works.
Yeah.
But, yeah. The restrictor chip that the alien overlords installed. Yeah, that's what it is. All right, so yeah, be sure to come by Wednesday because that should be a really cool show. I usually like to do stuff about like weird psychology stuff like that. So have a good rest of your evening, you guys. Thanks for dropping by today. And we will see you guys again on Wednesday. Good night.